Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Thursday, April the 13th, and you are listening to the KRFY Morning Show. I'm your host, Lonesome Jack. Without a co-host this morning, I do have a guest by the name of Debbie Love. Join me in the studio. We'll be talking about some upcoming events and, in general, about the Bonner Community Food Bank. More information about that is coming up just around the corner, but first let me give you the weather forecast for this weekend, as best as we can arrange it here, brought to you by the National Weather Service. Showers mainly before noon today with a high near 49 degrees, but it looks like it will be clearing up a little bit, perhaps in the afternoon. Who knows? Chance of precipitation today is 80%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible today. A 30% chance of showers tonight, mainly before midnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 34 degrees. Tomorrow, a chance of showers in the morning, and then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow afternoon. Foggy before 9 a.m., but otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 47 degrees. 60% chance of precipitation tomorrow. And then on Friday night, after that possible thunderstorm, there's a chance of rain or snow showers, mainly before midnight. Some thunder is also possible, which I think would be kind of cool, actually. A thunder snowstorm would be kind of neat. But that's just a slim chance of that. On Saturday, a chance of rain and snow showers before noon, then a chance of rain showers. Thunder again is possible on Saturday, then Saturday night, and looking into Sunday, finally a sunny day with a high near 54 degrees, if this weather report can be trusted. We are in the middle of a flood watch until April 14th. That's tomorrow at 1 a.m. So I guess all day today that flood watch persists. Keep an eye out for washed out roads and low-lying areas. That's the weather from that National Weather Service. My name is Jack, and I'm sitting here with Debbie Love. And I don't know if I have a good segue for transitioning from the weather to talking to you, Debbie, but good morning, and how are you this morning?
Good morning, Jack. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course. And it's always great to see you. You're one of our favorite guests.
Oh, thanks. I'd love to be here. You're one of my favorite hosts.
Well, you're a friend of the program and a regular feature, although I don't think we've seen you up here for a little while or heard you up here for a little while.
That's right. It has been a couple months or so. Uh-huh. Yeah. What have you been doing?
Well, I'm still getting it. Listeners can probably recognize I'm still getting over a little bit of a cold, but it's really finally. I swear I've got to beat this time. It's gonna be gone.
It is. Just like this rain.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Come Sunday, I'm gonna wake up feeling great. It's gonna be a sunny day, and that's it. That's my forecast.
Sounds good.
It's optimistic, but hopefully it'll be finally all cleared out. I bet last time we talked to you was around the Thanksgiving holiday. That's when we usually talk to the food bank. But important to remember that you guys are there serving the community all year long.
Thank you. Yes, springtime. Mm-hmm. The shelves tend to get empty.
They do.
Yes. So, just a little bit about the food bank. We're a nonprofit. And we exist to provide emergency resources, non-medical resources, to people in Bonner County that are experiencing a personal crisis. So,
you've been the its executive director for a couple of years now, right?
Actually, just 1 year.
Just 1 year.
Yeah, I just celebrated a year.
Well, and how has that year been? Have you? I know. We've already talked, in past interviews, we've talked about kind of what surprised you about the job, and I'm still interested about that. But has anything changed, even in that one short year? Have you changed the organization to suit to bend to your will at this point?
I see what you're saying. We are working to provide more education I think that's really what I do. Something that's really exciting that's coming up, we actually received funding to put in 5 raised garden beds.
Oh.
Yeah.
So nice. On your property?
On our property, yeah.
Okay.
So, and it's, you know, we have the lovely Sandpoint Community Garden and, you know, private growers and things that will donate to us, but we've never had an actual garden on our own property there.
That's very neat.
Yeah.
So that garden will be at the food bank, which is where?
We are located at 1707 Culver's Drive, near UPS off mm-hmm. North Boyer. So
yes, North Boyer. You kind of cut. You start driving towards the airplanes, but not exactly.
Right.
And
we've been in the facility since 2011. So we used to be up over by Server Burger,
mm-hmm.
and Google sometimes will tend to keep it. Lead you there, but mm-hmm. we're really over off Boyer now.
And if somebody wants to drop by and drop off something that you need or come see this new garden, that what times are you there going
to
be there?
We are open 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. And we have a garden party coming up the 1st of May, that first weekend. So we'll be building beds and putting that all together. Michelle Murphy is the lead volunteer with that, and she's actually helped install garden beds at Northside Elementary.
Right. Yes, she's done the school garden program.
So we're really excited to have her on board and to help us get this going.
Yeah. So she'll bring some expertise to that project. Yep. That's a cool idea though. They aren't built yet. They're going to be, but you're going to be building them. Starting May 1st or mm-hmm. starting around then. And what do you intend to grow there?
Well, at this point, we have strawberries on the list, mm-hmm. sweet peas, onions, potatoes.
Mm-hmm. And this will be stuff that you then harvest and bring into the food bank?
Absolutely. My idea is I'd really like actual clients that are receiving foods from us to help nurture those gardens and take care. And then we can give them incentive to help through point system that we offer.
Right.
So people shop in our market with points per month, and this way they'd be able to earn a little more points if they want to give back in that way.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about this, about the point system? Yeah. And tell us about that.
Jack, have you been to the food bank?
I never have.
You need to come.
I guess I should.
Yes, please come.
I'll have to come out. I'll make a point of it. I'll put that on my list. But it is, you know, I guess I have an idea in my mind of what a food bank is, but it's all very vague. I don't know how exactly it would work. If I walk in, if I'm a person in need and I walk in the door, what happens to me? Sure. I guess, yeah, how do I get the food that I need?
And that's a great question, because it is hard for people to come in and ask for help. We find that a lot of times that someone new coming in, they just keep their head down. They don't want to make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we just had a gentleman come in the other day, and he has never asked for help before. He'd always been giving, and now he has to receive because he's on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
So you come in, we ask for... You'll walk away with food no matter what, but there are 3 things that we require. You do need a photo ID, proof of address that you're a Bonner County resident, and proof of income. And that's it. It's about a 10 to 15 minute interview. And then we give you a list of the expectations. So for one person in the household, you receive 70 points. And for a person, you know, each additional person in the household will receive 10 points. So it's based on household size. And we'll take you through the market, and we have aisles and grocery carts and a checkout stand. And
mm-hmm.
And this is actually kind of a changing movement within the food banks. Typically, with larger food banks, we'll have people that'll just be passing through, and they're just amazed that they can come in and choose the kind of food that they need or want versus just being handed a box or a bag of food.
Ah.
And that's what most food banks do.
Yeah.
But now the North Idaho is changing to where you come in and you get to pick what you need. So,
which is, yeah, an interesting approach, and probably makes a lot of sense, especially if you're not relying on the food bank for 100% of your food.
Right.
You know, like if you still can go to the grocery store and get one or two items, you know, get some of your diet and, you know, go and get some things that are on sale, then you don't want to go to the food bank and get exactly. those things again.
Right.
Yeah. You want to be able to fill in those gaps.
Yeah. I guess. And my predecessor, Alice Wallace, she actually, we were the first food bank in the area to even think of this concept. She actually got the idea out of Seattle from a food pantry there. But it does. It avoids waste. I guess it came about when a gentleman said, I don't need another bag of beans. And he brought mm-hmm. in maybe 25 bags of beans that he had been receiving in those boxes. And so she said, we need to change this. And so that was yeah. one of the things that really attracted me to our local food bank.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lot like a shopping experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is kind of cool. What was I gonna ask you? Anything else about that point system? It's a very interesting. I guess you just mentioned you get at least one person new mm-hmm. Recently. How many are familiar faces, and how often do you see a lot of new people coming in and. Does it change with the seasons now that you've seen four seasons?
Right. Yes, it has. Interestingly, we have increased with new families that have never received services before. Last month, we had 40 new families and six new homeless families. So it's about a 6% increase from last year that yeah. we've seen, which is not good. We don't want to be in the business of growing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You don't want it. Unlike many other service providers, I guess you'd like to see that clientele shrink, I suppose.
Right. And we do see clients regularly. We do allow them to shop once a week. And so some live far away, so they'll come and use all their points in one visit, or we have others that will use it week by week and just extend it out, so depending on if they have food stamps available or if they just need something extra, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm excited about, we increased our fresh produce distribution. So we went from 11,000 pounds to over 100,000 pounds last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I can imagine how much that... I guess I can sort of, yeah, picture how much that is. It's a lot.
It is a lot. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I made it a priority.
Fresh foods. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. And it's all 0 points. So
people
can come in. Sometimes we'll limit things depending on it, but we want to encourage that for people to take those healthy greens and produce. So.
Yeah. Where do you get most of your food from? Where does it come out of individuals coming in and donating, or the local grocery stores?
Good question.
Yeah.
We have a grocery rescue program. And so our local grocery stores, Walmart, Safeway, Super One, Yolks, they all, each morning we have actually a van and a driver that'll go and pick up those foods every morning and bring them in. And then we stock the shelves. And then, of course, our community and individual donations too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of where we get our food.
But every morning you're going...
Every morning, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We'll get fresh bakery items. I mean, maybe a day old, but they're still edible. And so we're saving, you know, not having so much waste. So.
Yeah. I guess, so you mentioned that you have already increased the fresh produce and with that garden going in,
yes.
I imagine... That'll be increasing even further.
Yeah, for sure. We're excited about that.
Yeah. Tell me about that garden party, which is coming up on, May 1st?
Yeah.
What do you have planned there?
Well, we'll meet at 9 a.m. and we'll have people helping to build the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have soil brought in and just start filling the beds and some starts provided. And then also I'm partnering with the University of Idaho through their Eat Smart program. And we have a nutritionist that's been coming once a week. And so she'll use foods that we have at the food bank and provide meals and ideas for our clients. And then she'll be coming and they'll be donating seeds as well. So we'll be able to start that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know anything about that Eat Smart program beyond what she does in your area? Because I've started seeing the signs in like the grocery store and stuff.
Oh, good.
I think.
Yeah. So you're thinking there's a local group.
Okay.
Yeah. And they meet monthly, and that's run by Nancy Jenkins through a grant.
Mm-hmm.
And she, a lot of our health providers and nonprofits are coming together, and they've partnered up with Super One.
Mm-hmm.
And I work closely with the senior center as well. And they're doing a local, if you buy fresh foods from Super One, then you get these credits. And a gift card.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So Eat Smart Idaho is another wonderful mm-hmm. program through the University of Idaho. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they're at any other site right now. I know she's wanting to expand in Bonner County, but she comes up from Post Falls.
Uh-huh.
And she'll visit us once a week. And then she goes to other meal sites and food banks throughout the North Idaho area.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of other sites, you are partnered with, you have a relationship with some other food banks in the area.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Priest River Food Bank is under our nonprofit. So
yes.
We help run that facility over in West Bonner County. And mm-hmm. then we work closely with Clark Forks Food
yes.
Bank. Yeah.
So they're all, everybody's friendly, I guess.
Yes, we try to work together.
Uh-huh.
Second Harvest Food Bank out of Spokane will come and make deliveries once a week to mm-hmm. us, and we help get that food distributed throughout our county to those smaller food pantries.
Yeah. We mentioned the garden party. Should I, if I want to come to that, should I bring a hammer or something, or do I just show up?
Just show up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the garden party's on May 1st, but coming up even before then, on Saturday, April 22nd, this one looks like fun. The Hunger Bowl.
Yes. This is the first time we're holding this event. But as I have found in my year that the summer months we really struggle to keep food on their shelves. And so we typically will do an empty bowl program fundraiser in the fall in November, and we partner up with Bonner Homeless Transitions, and we do that together, but we really need something in the spring. So we thought, why not? Let's do a Hunger Bowl and our, you know, striking out hunger in our community. So it's $200 per team. It's a 3-person team.
Mm-hmm.
That includes the 3 games, your bowling shoes, a drink, and a snack. And
I see.
And have you... Okay, so I've never been to Huckleberry Lanes before.
I have.
Yeah, have you?
What would you like to know? I can fill you in.
Well, I heard they have the best fries.
We're a non-commercial radio station, and so I shouldn't be advertising any commercial entity.
Okay.
But I will tell you that their fries in my personal opinion, they have some mighty fine French fries.
Sorry, didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay.
but that's what will be provided in your registration. So you'll get a pound of fries.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
That's excellent. And compete for bragging rights and to be crowned bowling champs. Do you have a trophy or anything? Paper crown, something like that?
We do have something, but I was told
you can't tell.
Exactly.
Oh, a secret.
It's a secret.
So
the top team during that session will win.
How competitive do you think this is going to be? Do you have some good bowlers or?
Well, I heard we have Fortress, which is a printing copying company out of Coeur d'Alene.
Uh-huh.
They're coming and they are, I guess, big time bowlers.
Oh boy.
So I'll just warn you, they're in the first session. So if you'd like to.
Uh-huh. And that's it's 3-person teams.
Yes.
So 3 people for, it's a $200 sign up per team, not per individual.
Right. So that comes to about $65 per person.
Yeah. Games, shoes, drink, and snack. Very nice.
And I'd like to thank Washington Trust Bank. They're making this happen for us, and also Huckleberry Lanes. So we're excited to try this event, and hopefully it'll be a success there where we can do it again next year as well.
So if a company is interested in signing up, or 3 people are interested in signing up, what's the deadline? Can you do it the day of? Probably not.
Probably not. April 19th is what we're looking at, the week of that Wednesday.
And you just get in touch with Debbie Love, or who do we call?
Yeah, call 263-3663, and you can ask for Debbie or Barb, and we'll get you signed up.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the Hunger Bowl.
The Hunger Bowl.
It's interesting. You mentioned that summer is a lean time, I guess, mm-hmm. for the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not surprised that people, especially around the holidays, start thinking of the food bank. We know that's when you think, oh, I should go, you know, bring a turkey. And then sometimes the grocery stores will have some sort of Thanksgiving meal, you know, coordination.
Right.
But I'm surprised by that fact, or that statistic, that summertime is a hard time to keep food on the shelves.
Yeah. Yeah, our donations decrease dramatically.
Is it that it's not an increase in demand, it's a decrease in supply?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. What I do find, though, since the kiddos are out of school, so their parents and families are feeding, you know, three meals a day versus the two, maybe breakfast or dinner, and they have that. They qualify for the free and reduced lunch at school, and they're not getting that. Mm-hmm. And we do have the free meal sites through the school district that are at City Beach and Farman, but a lot of our families are rural, so those kids are at home with nothing to eat. So we like to increase the points for those families with children at home. And so the need is definitely up, but also the donations are down.
Yeah. What do you see individuals or families? Or I'm sure that you get some kind of mix, but what, I guess, paint a picture of who your average client is. And what are they unemployed? Unemployed individuals? Are they families or, go ahead.
I can give you some numbers too, which is startling. We serve 900 families, 1400 individuals, 1,100 children, and 860 seniors.
That is startling.
Yeah.
That's very high.
So that was very eye-opening for me, and just in our beautiful community, and, you know, to know that there is a great need out there, and they're coming once a month. But the typical person is your neighbor. Mm-hmm. They don't wear it on their arms, so you don't know. But I guess what I found is that there are all these unexpected life events that happen that take a toll on our personal budget or our heart, you know, loss of death of a family member, mental illness, loss of employment. So there are all these things that happen. And so when that happens to somebody, they just, they don't know what to do. And they're not really living for tomorrow anymore. They're just surviving today. I mean, that's really what I have found, that they're anybody. They could be you and me, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and most are working families. They just don't have that income. So they're making those decisions. Do we pay rent this month? Do we go to the doctor, or do we put food on our table? So that's where I love that we can be there to help them with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You paint a somewhat similar picture to, just last week we had Bonner Homeless Transitions here. And yeah, kind of heard the same thing, that it's not, what she was saying was that it's not that the homeless people in Bonner County, the their clientele, the people they serve, by and large aren't coming in from out of town and becoming homeless here. They're people who oftentimes grew up here, lived here for years, and were, you know, productive members of the community, still productive members of the community, who just by circumstance find themselves in bad situation. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not necessarily what you picture.
No.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would like to take a musical break before we should come back and talk a little bit about another event coming up later, the Postal Food Drive, and we can mention these other events as well. But let's. Let's talk about Debbie Love. Let's talk about L-O-V-E Love. It's Al Green's birthday. Did you know that? Today, if my sources are correct, today is the Reverend Al Green's birthday. Let's hear a little something by Al Green entitled L-O-V-E Love. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Back with more after this.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. My name is Jack, and I'm sitting here with Debbie Love. That was Love by Al Green, who whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday to the Reverend Al Green. We are, as I said, talking to Debbie Love, who is the executive director of the Bonner Community Food Bank, which is, I'm getting that name correct, right?
Yes.
The Bonner Community Food Bank, which I think it was formerly known as something else, maybe just the Sandpoint Food Bank or something like that, or no.
Bonner Community Food Center.
Okay.
But a lot of people like to put the word county in there, and we're actually not a county entity. So,
yes. Yeah. Just Bonner.
Bonner Community.
Uh-huh. Bonner Community. And we have been talking about a couple events coming up, and also just the summertime being lean times for you. A little bit. A little hard to keep food on the shelves, and it's... I guess I understand it. I always get busy with it. I feel... in the wintertime, I feel like, well, what can I do this weekend? Can't think of anything, you know, can't think of too much to do. How can I help somebody else or something like that? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's a little overly generous to my own state of mind, but say it's something like that. But in the summertime, it's like, well, there's, you know, I'm going to a barbecue tonight. I've got too much stuff on my plate right now. The food bank doesn't even enter my mind.
Right.
And that's, I imagine, what happens with a lot of people.
Yeah. So when you're doing those barbecues, Jack, you guys can ask your guests to bring a food item.
There we go.
Collect food at your gatherings and bring that over to the food bank after.
That's a clever idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just came to me.
That's a great idea.
I should do that too.
Host a barbecue and just say, bring a canned item.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you are. Trade a canned item, can of food for a can of something else, maybe,
yeah.
Is what you could do.
Right.
Yeah. speaking of events, we already talked about the Hunger Bowl and a little bit about that May 1st garden party. The Hunger Bowl, again, is on April 22nd. We can mention the details one more time before we go. But coming up this weekend, you're partnering with another local organization,
yes.
Right? That's this weekend,
this
right?
Is, yes. Yeah. So we're partnering with Kinderhaven at the Sandpoint Community Hall, and we have families from the food bank and other resources where we are bringing, I think we'll have 10 families, and we'll do a slow cooker workshop. So teaching these families how to make recipes and meals in a slow cooker.
Cool.
Crockpot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Kinderhaven approached me and I said, absolutely. And they get to walk away with a crock pot and a bag of goodies and a recipe book with low budget recipes and also items that come up to the food, you know, that are at the food bank. So they'd be able to use those canned items in their recipes.
Yeah, it is a great idea. And that Kinderhaven came up with it.
Yeah.
So you don't know. Do you know the genesis of that idea?
I do not.
No. Well, it's very interesting.
It is. It's great. And that's just something that I really want to start implementing is that educational programming, you know, teaching people how to cook or how to mm-hmm. preserve foods is a big one. You know, you get a big package of frozen meat, freeze some of that, you know, keep it and make it last.
So yeah.
It's just simple things like that that some people may not know.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting too. I mean, the educational component, is that something, or I guess are you, I'm surprised myself sometimes at things I don't know, or actually frame it differently. I'm surprised at things that my grandmother, say, knows how to do and knows just by heart and by rote and by habit, does it all the time. And I say, what are you doing there, Grandma? You know,
like, oh,
what is that? Are you finding there's a great opportunity to teach people about certain things?
Absolutely. The one thing I love, because we have this wonderful lobby when you come in, we want you to feel at home and comfortable, and, you know, treat people with dignity and respect. And we get our older clients in there and the women, and they just talk about the foods and how they're preserving it. And I just found out from one of our clients, she's been dehydrating, like the little tomatoes that we've been offering, and uh-huh. and she even brought some in for us to taste. It's like, oh, what a great idea. Never thought of that you could dehydrate tomatoes and keep those. And
yeah.
So they're educating the people in the lobby as they're waiting to get into the market. And I just love hearing them talk about those recipes and ideas that they're doing with the food. Mm-hmm. Another idea, we had catfish come in through our USDA commodities, frozen fillets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they were asking, how do we cook these? So we started, you know, finding recipes and putting them out of, over by the freezers for the catfish. And they'd come back and talk about, oh, that, you know, the, breading them and frying them is the best way to eat them. Mm-hmm. Some people were trying to bake them, but they were too chewy. So it was fun mm-hmm. to just hear the things that were happening
yeah.
with food.
So. Do you have any like educational, I guess, any classes or anything that you offer?
We did in the fall through the University of Idaho. They provided three different workshops. And so we're going to try that again in the fall.
Mm-hmm. The organization is the Bonner Community Food Bank. We're talking with Debbie Love, the executive director. I'm Jack. You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show. You have, so partnering with Kinderhaven for what, is there a limit? I imagine you're limited by how many crockpots you have for that event. Is it all booked up already or?
It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's a cool idea.
Anyway. Yeah.
And then a little later on in the month, the year, or next month, whatever, the postal food drive. And this is a big one for you.
It is a big one.
Yeah.
So
what's that?
We, every year the post office, they hold a food drive. So they leave bags for you in your mailbox and you can leave foods out in your mailbox for them and the carriers will pick it up. 5 years or so ago, we started doing in conjunction with it. So we'll have people outside of all of our grocery stores here locally asking for food as well. Mm-hmm. And this is a big food drive for us. It's one of the only ones that we sponsor as a food bank that'll help us get through those summer months.
Yeah.
So it's an important one.
What do you... You're growing your own fresh food and you get some from the grocery stores. I guess when I think of what the food bank needs, if I weren't otherwise educated, I would just go to the canned goods section and start picking things off the shelves. And it sounds like maybe that's just what you do, or are there specific items that you find you're always short on?
Yeah, actually, yes, peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
So canned uh-huh. protein too, as well. Any sort of proteins, beans, black beans, kidney beans, mm-hmm. chili beans, mm-hmm. those sorts of things. We're always short on. It seems like as a food bank, we're constantly purchasing those items as well.
I see.
So canned tuna, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And canned fruit. A lot of our clients like the canned fruit as well.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, it's delicious.
Yeah, it is.
Well, okay, so canned protein is a major, mm-hmm. I don't know, a shortage, and peanut butter,
yes.
You said. I think
peanut.
You've said that before.
Yeah, it's a favorite.
Yeah.
And it goes a long way.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love peanut butter?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, when did you say when the postal food drive is? How long it goes?
No, I didn't. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, host.
Whoa. No. What's the answer?
It's Saturday, May 13th. And it goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay.
And we're always looking for volunteers. So if you have a couple hours to give that day as well, we can put you in front of a store and solicit for food for us. We have little lists that we like to hand out so people have an idea of what to purchase while they're in the store if they'd like to give. So,
mm-hmm. So you mentioned you're always looking for volunteers, and that's one thing that somebody could do. Is there, what other opportunities are there if somebody's looking to help out?
Yeah, we have our market. We're always looking for help to receive donations in the back. We weigh them, help stock shelves, also check out our clients. And that's if you're available. Sometimes that's a challenge for people because we are open only from 8 to 3, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
There are no weekends unless we have special events like the food drive or a garden party. But if anyone's interested, they could call us at 263-3663 and we can get them set up.
Well, very cool.
Yeah.
I hope it is a good summer. I hope you're not a stranger. You're still you're a very active community member. We might see you for some other reason too. Absolutely. Even if we're not talking about the Bonner Community Food Bank, you might be in for something else.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. I'm always happy to come back.
Anything finally? Should we do one more? I have four events written down here. Do you want to give the dates of those again? The Kinderhaven/Food Bank event is this weekend. Of course, it's already all booked up and you don't need, do you need volunteers or anything for that?
We're set. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. The Hunger Bowl is when and where?
April 22nd at Huckleberry Lanes. And we have a couple different sessions that teams can register for starting at 10:30 to 12:30 or 1:30 to 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call if you'd like to register.
And the postal food, the following event, if we're going chronologically, is the garden party, probably.
Garden party, and that starts at 9 a.m. and probably until noon, but we're just going to keep working until all those garden beds are built and mm-hmm. and filled with soil.
So that, you can come out and help and pitch in?
Yes, absolutely.
And also, I suppose this is a good time, if you've never been there, like I haven't, to go and check out the food bank.
Yeah, please come. I'll give you a tour.
Okay. And then finally, next month, the postal food drive.
Yes, it's May 13th, and that goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Well, there you have it.
Thank you.
Anything in closing, Debbie Love?
I'd just like to thank you and KRFY for all you do for our community.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Yeah. We're happy to be here. It's always fun when we have a guest like yourself. I'm going to play one more Al Green song because I can, because it's his birthday and I am a fan. This is a song called Love and Happiness. And we'll be back with some other community events coming up this weekend right after this musical interlude. Stay tuned to the KRFY Morning Show.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. My name is Jack, and I am Lonesome Jack yet again. I have no co-host, although I believe that Jim Healy will be back in studio with me next week, and I will be Lonesome Jack no more. Coming up here on 88.5 KRFY, speaking of next week, on Tuesday, Phil Huff and Julie Calamine will be interviewing Tom Carty and Yvette McGowan and station manager here at KRFY, Susie Prez. That's on Tuesday with a picture of Tom's eighth grade internship at KRFY, an audio picture, that is, of Tom's eighth grade internship here at KRFY. We've certainly enjoyed seeing Tom's shining face about the halls here at the radio station. It'll be sad to see him go, but he's been very productive while he's here, and I think that will be an interesting program. That's Tuesday, April 18th. Then on Wednesday, Susie and Chris will have Lake Pend'Oreille School District Zone 5 trustee candidates Anita Perry and Carrie Kelly. The election season, or the Lake Pend'Oreille School District election season, is upon us here, and Anita Perry and Carrie Kelly will be in on Wednesday, April 19th. Another informative show. Get yourself engaged in what's going on in the community by listening to that morning show on Wednesday, April the 19th. It is this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, is Easter weekend. It's we must be in the middle of Holy Week, I guess. And I suppose revealing about myself that I haven't been paying close attention to the liturgical calendar this year. But we have all sorts of events going on in our town. Let me tell you a little bit about them right now as I fade in our background music, Count Basie and his orchestra. Coming up this week, it's It is Radical Movie Night tonight at Evans Brothers Coffee from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. It's a bi-weekly documentary movie night intended to inspire, challenge, and educate us towards democracy. This week is a double feature. The Noam Chomsky documentary, Requiem for the American Dream. He is supposedly the most quoted author alive, Chomsky. Second will be Killing the Black Snake, behind the scenes of the hashtag NoDAPL struggle. Each documentary will be only 45 minutes long. That's Radical Movie Night at Evans Brothers Coffee. Free admission, sponsored by Wild Idaho, Rising Tide, and Radar, R-A-D-A-R, whatever that is. Call 610-5354 for more information about that. Coming up tonight as well, it is open mic night with Doug and Kevin at McDuff's Beer Hall. Doug Bond and Kevin Doran are hosting an open mic night. All local artists over the age of 21 years old, so you can get in the door of that tavern, are welcome to enjoy a fun and open night of playing at McDuff's Beer Hall. Come out for a positive environment to share your passion, or just come to take it all in. All levels of performers are welcome. Coming up tonight and then continuing on Saturday at the Panada Theater, screenings of the film France, F-R-A-N-T-Z, France. That's at 7:30 p.m. tonight and 3:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. on April 15th. Visit the Panada's webpage for more information about that, or give them a call. They're at 300 North 1st Avenue. It's tomorrow night is live music at the Idaho Poor Authority with John Fershey. Winery live music also tomorrow night down at the winery. Tom Cadmill's coming up from Missoula, Montana, bringing a sound of country, blues, folk, and pop. He's a storyteller, enjoying making both acoustic and electric guitar sounds to wrap a melody around, and a favorite here in the Inland Northwest region. That's Tom Cadmill at the winery. Call 265-8545 for more information about that. They're doing music on the bridge here on Friday nights. At the Wine Bar on the Cedar Street Bridge hosts live music from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. with Mostly Harmless. That's free and open to the public. Call 597-6530 for more information about that. More music as well. You have all sorts of choices for your musical entertainment tomorrow night. Second Fridays with Ron Green at McDuff's Beer Hall from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. Ron Green is up from Coeur d'Alene and has evidently been proving popular as he's established himself a somewhat residency. Second Fridays with Ron Green at McDuff's Beer Hall. And it's the Contra Dance on the 14th. That's tomorrow night again at Community Hall. A New England tradition Contra Dance starts at 7 p.m. in Community Hall. All dances are taught and called. Beginners and singles are welcome, but encouraged to arrive in a timely manner so that you can be there for the beginning and start with the basics. Bring clean shoes and a water bottle and head on down to Community Hall if you're interested in that. Sponsored by Lost Horse Press and Sandpoint Parks and Recreation. It's the second Friday of every month. Call 263-6751. It's an Alan James Teague piano concert tomorrow night as well at the Panada Theater. If that's if you're interested in a more classical and formal musical experience, check out Alan James Teague. I say formal, but I don't. I only mean that you'll actually sit in seats and facing a stage rather than at the bar and looking over your shoulder at the artist. At the Panada Theater tomorrow night, Alan James Teague at 7:30 p.m. Between stories about life with a heartfelt tendency, he delivers his art form. It's he's a pianist and a artist of all sorts. His audiences laugh a lot and cry just a little bit too. His music has been featured in numerous plays, ballets, modern dance performances, films, television programs, and documentaries, including compositions created especially for the A&E Network. Huh, how about that? General admission tickets are available at the door and also at panada.org. Call 255-7801 for more information. The Maya Kohal Band is playing on Friday night at the 219 from 9 p.m. till midnight. That's the Maya Kohal Band at the 219 Lounge at 219 North 1st Avenue. Now, coming up on the 15th, that's Saturday, it's the annual Easter Egg Hunt. It's at Memorial Field, and the Lions Club is hosting the annual Easter Egg Hunt. It's traditional fun. Starting at 10 a.m. sharp, that's on Saturday, April 15th at Memorial Field. It's an enjoyable event for local children. There are age-appropriate divisions for all. It is, of course, free and open to the public. Go call 946-1367 for more information about the Easter Egg Hunt. There is also an Easter sunrise service on Easter morning, Sunday, April 16th. It's happens to be the resort's last day of skiing and riding as well. But if you go up to Schweitzer, you can check out the Easter sunrise service from the mountaintop. No gear is allowed at the sunrise service. No cheating and starting your skiing up there. But you can load up starting at 6:15 a.m. on the Great Escape Quad for a complimentary ride to the top. The last load is at 6:45 a.m. The non-denominational service begins at 7 o'clock a.m. And then there is a Easter egg hunt following that in the village at 9 a.m. Sunday, April 16th. Be on time as the hunt goes quickly and they find those eggs mighty fast. Also going on Easter, we have, church services around the area. You can go to find more information about that, I'm sure, on the internet and in your local or in your other community resources, like, say, the Yellow Pages. And then if a religious experience is not what you're in for, it is Game Night with Rachel on Sunday the 16th at the 219. Game night from 7 p.m. till close. That's what I've got. There's plenty more coming up in the weeks following that, but that is what comes to mind right at this moment. On this date, going back into the 70s, Paul McCartney hit number one on Paul McCartney and Wings hit number one. Paul McCartney's third number one album for after leaving the Beatles as a solo artist or as a leader of a band. It was Band on the Run, and from that album we heard several number one or several hit songs, including this one. The album Band on the Run by Paul McCartney and Wings hit number one this week in 1973, and it included some hits, including the title track and this one. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Tune back in Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning at 8 a.m. for more. We'll be back next week, of course, and enjoy your Easter weekend. Here's Paul McCartney and Wings with Jet from 1973.